Hello and welcome back to Down the Slope. Hibs have played two times since we last saw you, and neither of them were particularly fond experiences. But we've got two people joining me tonight, and it is the wonderful Liam. Liam, how are we doing?
I'm doing good, mate. Thank you. You all right?
Well, you ken the rules with me, mate. Hibs are shit, Harry's shit, so I've not even got words to describe quite how I am today. But Greg, we've also got you with us today. How are you doing?
Okay. I think I'll stretch to okay tonight.
All right, well, we could always be worse than okay. And Ewan and Ryan both can't join us this week just due to life commitments. Probably burying their heads in toilets, spewing, thinking of Hibs performing. But the good news is, guys, how delighted are you that we don't have to see Hibs play for at least 5 to 6 weeks? Is that good news at this point, or are we not quite at that stage?
I'm actually gutted it's not longer.
Oh God,
I
is
like how
it
you
everything?
say, I like how you say, watch Hibs play as if Hibs have been playing last couple of weeks.
Oh
Aye,
God.
I'm looking forward to not having my weekend ruined the way it was on Saturday. I know we'll come on and talk about it, but it feels like they've ruined quite a lot of weekends, and actually the odd midweek of late as well, the odd Tuesday night. So I think for a lot of people it's a break that they've really been looking forward to, and I'm looking forward to it too now.
Yeah, it seems that life's given us them at quite generous times, because I remember towards the end of last season we were kind of gunning towards the summer, and then it came and we were actually excited for the games coming back. So hopefully come mid-December we're excited for Hibs coming back. But anyway, let's move into the action that has just gone at the start of November. We're not going to touch on the Ross County game because it makes me sad and I can't be bothered being sad tonight, boys. It was a pretty poor performance, and a lot of the feedback that we've got from the Kilmarnock game kind of reflects the way the Ross County game went as well. So we're just going to kind of summarise them both in the one. But Liam, you made the trip through. As always, when you're on those trips, one of the most exciting parts of the day is when you see the team line up. What did you initially make of the team?
I was okay with it. I probably wasn't surprised really with any elements of it, 'cause I think we named the team that, if I'm being honest, I was expecting. I know there was a lot of calls for Rocky to keep his place, but I think we've not really seen Rocky play in a back four a huge amount. And when we have, he's maybe not played his best football in a back four, so probably wasn't surprised to see him drop out, to be honest. I did think the inclusion of Stevenson ultimately as a centre midfielder, as it turned out to be initially in the game anyway, was a bit of a strange one, given that we've had a summer window to address that issue and we're still playing him in centre mid, which is a position which he hadn't played for the best part of a decade up until the end of last season. I was willing to give the Melkerson Kukrovic front two another chance on Saturday after Tuesday night's poor showing. I can't say I'm in a hurry to see that again, though.
Greg, anything wrong there?
No, I always try and remain as positive as possible. So I was giving that team the full backing, even with Stevenson in midfield and Paul Hanlon at the back, two of my favourites. So I tried to give that team as much of a chance as possible.
And they didn't really pay that off, did they, Greg?
Nah, I keep giving them chances and they keep letting me down, Harry. What can I say?
Well, let's kind of dive into the game. Realistically, the first half was turgid. Not a lot happened. It was pretty boring. Liam, was there any memories at all from that horrible place? Let's just get the rant out of the way.
The offside goal, which Melkerson's off by, I think, a hair on his knee. So it's good to see that the VAR light that we've got in Scotland is still capable of drawing lines that are about as thick as a pencil. It's just look, it might well be offside, right? But if you look at the lines, it's completely inconclusive. So how they can make a decision either way, I don't know. And the fact that it took them quite a fair amount of time to make that and other decisions during the game is probably endemic of the fact that the
For
system's not
me,
really working.
I think if you need to spend ages drawing lines and
pissing about with Microsoft Paint, then for me it's not going to work. You know, it's not clear and obvious if you're taking more than a minute. And ultimately, it's what a couple of hairs on his knee that's been offside. Like, it's just insane. Like, how can you, the top officials in this country, run it by looking at stuff like that for 2 or 3 minutes at a time?
And I'm sorry, but why is Kukurevich being punished so much during his time in Scotland? That's is it 2 or 3 goals that he's had that should have stood that now haven't? I don't know
Think
why they're bullying the
it's
poor lad.
four. It's four, I'm
Four,
sure.
four.
It is. Aye. It's an
That's wild.
anti-Ukraine bias from the SPFL, that's what it is.
Oh God, have they not been through enough, guys? All right, that's probably a bit insensitive. But yeah, let's just move straight into the second half. And again, not a lot going on for either team, but Marian Chibraya, what's he thinking, boys? Well, I know it's a bit soft when the penalty is given, like it was just inside the box, but he's got about 3 seconds to clear his line before he clumsily clips the guy's foot. Well, you just need to be better than that,
Empty
don't
it.
you?
Empty it. I know we had a discussion about whether emptying it's the right thing to do. Obviously, we want to be playing, but I think in that situation where you are vulnerable to someone nipping in, just empty it and reset and go again, because it's just such a silly penalty to lose. Like, I just don't know what he's thinking, why he's taking so long on that.
I'm probably looking for mitigation because I'm a big fan of Chibraya, but one of the things in the first half I didn't cover was we were just absolutely fucking woeful at getting the ball out from the back in the first half. Like, literally, we were just pumping it up the park and it was coming straight back. There was a period where Kildena was penned in, but we just couldn't get the stick up front, so it was going up and it was coming straight back. So I feel like, because of where that happened in the second half, he's had an instruction to be more thoughtful and more careful with the ball when we're playing out from the back, and he's done too much thinking when he should have just on that occasion just stuck it out, or lumped it up the park. And unfortunately, he's not, you know, it's ended up costing us, because you're damn sure when Kelly are defending, they're not thinking about playing it, they're just thinking about getting it straight back up the park, because that's what Derek McInnes teams do, they play the percentages. So it was shit. Huge question mark from you whether it's a penalty or not. I think the sports and guys on Saturday were adamant it wasn't a penalty. I think, having seen it back, I'm not really sure either way, to be honest.
Yeah, it's one of those ones. I think it's fair to go with whatever's given on the pitch. Like the rule in American football, I know you hate me talking about it, but if something's inconclusive, they'll just stick with what happened when the referee awarded it initially.
So
And
it was
for
free
me,
kick.
yeah, well, I think he's in the box, so like the fact he's given a foul for me is enough to make that a penalty because the VAR check for me wasn't whether it was a foul or not; it was whether it was in the box or not. If that makes sense.
I suppose that you're talking about in the spirit of it, but
Yeah.
I mean, in terms of the application of the rules, if it's inconclusive, it would still be a free kick.
Yeah, no, that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, Kilmarnock end up taking the lead, and we had some dangerous corners going to the box that we probably should have done something with, but it just never looked like it was going to fall to us at the right part, and it never really did.
Four goal mouth scrambles within about 15, 20 minutes each are 4 times it dropped in and around the 6 yard box, and there wasn't someone to put it in the net. But playing a striker with 20 league appearances and 0 goals in Elias Melkerson, Kukrovic is really the only player that's looked like scoring. We're not getting goals from midfield other than, you know, Campbell's initial sort of flurry at the beginning of the season. So in some respects, it's not really surprising that there was no one there to put them away. I think it's a really sad indictment of where we are. Like, we just don't we're not really creating chances through cutting teams open. We're creating chances through just volume the balls into the box. And even then, with a really high volume, we don't look like we're going to score.
Greg, one comment you picked up on after the game, Lee Johnson commented about Kevin Nisbet regretting not bringing him on the pitch. That's almost unforgivable, isn't it? Just how stupid that is.
Well, it's just, I mean, he's really started to piss me off, if I'm honest, with his absolute nonsense comments and the way he conducts himself. You know, what was it last week? It was almost angry and disappointed against Aberdeen. Almost isn't good enough. And then he says he's almost angry at himself for not for not picking Kevin Nisbet as if that's totally out of his hands. You know, it's his job to pick him if he's fit. I just don't know. I think everything he sort of says at the moment seems to be quite weak. But I know he got the benefit of the doubt at the start of the season when he was moaning about the structure of the League Cup every 5 minutes because he was new, but doesn't he cut it now? He's 6 months in the job. He should know his best players. He should know who's fit, who isn't. But if he's almost angry at himself, then good for him. But it's not going to wash, and it's not going to continue to wash because it's weak. And at the moment, what we need is proper management to be quite firm, but he's almost everything. So
he's coming under the microscope because his team have lost 6 of the last 7 games. So I've seen a lot of people saying like Johnson out shouts are ridiculous, and you know, just I suppose discouraging any sort of discourse about Wee Johnson because he's still relatively early in his tenure. But any manager who loses 6 of their last 7 fixtures is going to come under scrutiny. Simple fact, football. He's under pressure. He's at a club where he should be doing much better. I know the league is this season a bit meh. Like, there's a lot of teams not picking up points, but I think there's a couple of teams in the league who look like they might be on the verge of stringing something together. To be honest, our trend is going in the opposite direction. So I can understand fans being really worried and really concerned, especially when he's coming out and, to be honest, in post-match, he's saying things to me that are baffling, like really baffling. And I didn't want to subscribe to all the hysteria when he was saying stuff earlier on in the season about League Cups and, you know, making all these weird comments about GPS stats and all that sort of stuff. But there's a reason things he's saying are coming under the microscope. And it's because he's losing games and because he's frankly saying some stuff that just doesn't really fucking make sense to your average punter.
Glad you brought the GPS comment up, Liam. That was obviously the St Johnston game at home when the GPS said Kyle McGuinness was fine when everyone else could see that he wasn't fine. He himself said, judge us after 10, 12 games. Now look at us. We can't even string a couple of passes together, never mind a couple of wins. So
yeah,
he brings it on himself with the stuff he says. But
I don't really want to hit the...
Nobody really in that team seems to be brave on the ball or want to be inventive. And yeah, I feel like it's just very meh.
Just before we turn this into a whole slander towards Lee Johnson pod, just my 2 cents on it. I did say at the start of the season that some of the comments that we did find a bit quirky and funny, if we did start to slip down the table a bit, would stop being funny. Like for example, one that sticks in my head is when someone was like, "You're our pish mate," away to St Mirren, and then he said, "I know, pal." Things like that you get away with, and he's still making those comments. And then the Celtic one away from home, that go and ask him what they're having for breakfast, like. Just stop
I would imagine Hibs have a nutritionist on good money there telling the players what to eat. That was nice of him. It's just embarrassing. Imagine saying, oh, after getting beat 6-1, like, oh, should be knocking on their door asking what they have for their breakfast. Don't have anything spectacular for their breakfast, if I'm honest. And, you know, he just screams Championship League One manager, young manager that's trying to be quirky, trying to be funny, trying to be sort of new era, but nobody really cares about that. They just want a winning team.
Greg. I was coming to say, I think we were kind of warned of you by Sunderland fans that he was a bit David Brent. So I think we're all kind of maybe. No, looking for it, but I think in some respects, like, you know, we already have that sort of bias that we're looking at him through that lens, and I can see the Brent in him. Like he is trying to be, I don't know, I think quirky is probably the right word, but it's just coming across really, I don't know, it's just not coming across well, and fans need something to point their frustration at the moment. And it's not all fans, because a lot of fans are pointing fingers elsewhere. A lot of fans are questioning recruitment, which I think we're going to come and talk about a little bit later on. But I do think, for me, he's in a very, very difficult position already with a lot of the supporters. A very, very difficult position. And he doesn't have a huge amount of time to turn it around. And the fixtures that are coming up will be make or break for him.
And understandably so. But let's just kind of recap those two games. Personally, I didn't really think there was many positives, because that's one thing I was saying in defence of Johnston. I think a lot of the games this season we've actually performed quite well in, and despite not taking chances, I think we've created them in abundance. However, the Ross County game especially, we just didn't look like scoring at all. And that was the first game that I was actually worried. Before the Ross County game, I would have said that any form of Lee Johnston out chance or shouts were just ludicrous, but the last two games have been pretty rough. Is there anything in particular you can point it to?
Ibs supporters, 1,400 of them made the trip through to Kilmarnock on Saturday. This team, despite not deserving it in the slightest, continues to get backed. A fan base that, you know, I know sometimes we have our moans and our gripes with our fellow fans, but you can't fault them for their backing this season. They've turned up in their numbers every time they've been asked, and the way support this season's been very, very good at the games I've been at. So I think the fans deserve a pat on the back, but frankly, yep. The players, imposters, a lot of them, absolute imposters.
I think as well, you've sold out a Friday night against St Johnston, and okay, we maybe played well, but then the bottle crashed. Then we go to Aberdeen and we look amateur. Then we go to Killy and we don't look like we're going to do anything in the game. But fans pay money to go watch this and go and travel to these places, and you know what, and you know what, the club probably don't and the team probably don't deserve the backing they get some of the time. But I've got no doubt that there'll be the allocation at Ibrox will be sold out, even though it's on the telly, even though it's midweek, it'll still be sold out because the fans want to back the team regardless. But I think there's some people at this football club that don't quite get that, that don't quite understand what it means. And that is a big issue for me, is when people at the club don't quite get it. This is a huge club, and look at the state of us right now. We don't even look like scoring. We don't look like doing anything in the games. But the fans will still turn out.
There is a bit of a disconnect, which becomes more apparent when you're losing games, and no one talks about the disconnect when things are going well. But there's some things that are going on in the club that at the moment that are quite worrying. And there's, I suppose, an element of kind of club propaganda trying to change that narrative. But right now, fans are in a place where the average football fan is navigating their way through a cost of living crisis, where they're having to shell out their hard-earned money. They've got another Christmas coming up, which we know really typically is an expensive time of year for a lot of people. We've got Rangers away 9 days before Christmas. They've then got another couple of away games over that spell. The fans again are going to be asked to dig deep and put their money where their mouth is. And I'll be honest, there's some players out there you need to question whether or not they're even given 100%. And if the fans are given 100%, they're not getting it back from the players. That furthers that feeling of disconnect.
Well, I think that was quite a good chapter closer there. You know, we try to bring
got that off my chest, to be honest.
I tell you what,
Harry. If anyone is actually still listening to this and is not currently fucking doing something, I don't know, sitting in a darkened room, they maybe want to go and sit in a darkened room now, because this is just basically a therapy session for me and Greg.
Aye, but you have both done very well, and I'm proud of you so far. So let's try, I was going to say a more positive segment, but given recent form, I think this segment's actually going to be relatively negative. So, guys, we're going to look at our summer transfer window. So we've said that there's quite a few problems on the pitch. And let's see if it's down to recruitment. So essentially, I'm going to read through all the new signings we made over the summer, including loans that we made permanent and re-signings of players. And we're simply going to say if it was a red, green or amber signing and a bit of justification behind it. Ideally, we all unanimously agree on what we're saying. Or we can at least come to an agreement, but we'll see how we go. Understand, boys?
Yeah.
Super. All right. So up first, I've only got them in the order that what you got Transfer Market put them in. And if there's anybody missing, you can blame Transfer Market and not me for being specky. So up first is a certain Mr. Marian Chabraha. Red, green, amber.
I'm going to say green.
You know what? I'm also going to say green because I think the only reason you wouldn't put him green is because of recency bias. I think that overall as a signing, I think he's been a good replacement for Josh Doig. He's obviously not like for like because he's a very different player, but personally, I'd have him at green. Liam, your face tells a different story, no?
Oh no, I'd 100% have him at green. I'm a
Okay.
massive fan. I'd 100% have him at green, but I don't know if you saw a tweet I put up a few days ago about saying that there were still some good players signed in the summer. The most commonly, I said Chabraya is one of those good players. He was the most common one that was challenged on that list. I think I had four or five replies. Some people citing that he'd had one bad game, admittedly, and that meant that he wasn't good enough. I think one guy replied to me saying, "Did you not see him at St Mirren away?" And I was like, "That was one game out of the, what, 13, 14 games he's played." I think he's good as a left back. I'd be honest, I don't really want to see him play left wing back in a back three, back five, because he just does not have the engine to get up and down that flank. And it's pretty evident that all he wants to do is just cross it in first time. So, as a left back, green.
It's super. Well, off to a good start, boys. See you green for the cabbage. Up second, we're looking at the opposite flank. A certain Mr. Lewis Miller. So I'll start. I think very jury's out. So I would say amber because I don't think he's done enough wrong to be red. Because he's been injured for so long. But if he's want to stick him in red, I understand.
I think he's had enough game time to be judged as a red, to be honest. I think that what we've seen of him have been pretty brief. So I think, pulling the fact we've not really seen a whole lot of him, I would have to put him in amber. I think there is potential there. It's just once he gets back fit, it's up to him whether he challenges Cadden or not for that position, and what he does. But I would have to say amber on that one.
Stonewall Amber, I think he's played about 20 minutes in the league or something like that. So it's really hard to judge. I think if you were going to make a judgment on him just based off the minutes he has played, I think you'd probably be edging towards red. But I think he's Amber just on the basis that he's not good enough.
And next we've got Ewan Henderson. I think this is for me a tricky one. But Liam, we'll let you kick off. What colour would you put Henderson in?
Put it this way, I'm regretting nominating the cunt for Player of the Year. Good in League Cup. The occasional wee moment, but I think I really like him. I think he takes up a lot of really good positions. Think he's brave. I think he does a lot of really good things. But his quality on the ball and his decision making and then what he ends up doing with it at times has been really, really poor for a player that's had the sort of caliber or pedigree, sort of youth career that he's had. Really poor. I'd have to say Amber, and I think I'm being honest, I think that's even quite kind.
Greg, what are you thinking?
Look, he's brave because he always wants the ball. I don't think he ever hides. The same can be said for others, but in terms of quality on the ball and final product outside the League Cup, I think it's an amber, but not by a lot. I think he's very much verging on a red.
I
Maybe
like him.
we just need to see more from him. Look, a great finish against St Mirren, but we need to see more of that. I would like to see him more advanced in the final third and getting into these positions. But I'm disappointed with him so far, to be honest.
You
Because I
know
thought
that
he really could be a player for us, but at the moment he's not shown it.
thing Liam hates where pundits will say there should be a card like, oh, it's not a red card, it's not a yellow card, if only there was an orange card. I feel that that's kind of where Henderson is between red and amber at the moment. But despite the Twitter timeline, we're going to put him in amber because I think that's the three of us have unanimously been generous and given it to him. But I think it is understandable to put him in red based on how poor he has been in games, but it's mattered. And then next, I'm going to kick off, and I know it kind of goes against what we said with Miller, but if you're on the money he's on, I think so far the signing of Aidan McGeady has been a red. I think he's kind of he was brought in by, in my opinion, Johnson to be a marquee signing. And I know it's not technically his fault that he's been injured the whole season, but if he's a top three earner at the club and he's has he played a minute of league football, I just seems a flop to me, and it feels like he's going to be away in January. Thoughts?
So, I don't think you can mark him as a red. He's been injured. That's not his fault. Regardless of how much money he's on, doesn't mean that he can be fit all the time. There was always that element of injury when we signed him, so that needs to be included. But I just think that at the moment it's Poyan Amber, not seen enough of him in the league, not seen any of him in the league, to be honest. But I think once he gets back fit and we do see him in the league, then we can make a proper judgment call on him. But at the moment, there's no danger. You can go into the red, hardly had any minutes in the League Cup, to be honest, and got injured, not played a game in the league. I think it's harsh to give him a red at this point without actually seeing more of him. And whether we do see more of him is a different story.
Thoughts, Liam?
I think Chris Finn on Twitter summed it up really well when he said he'll be at Brisbane Roar or the Central Coast Mariners by January. I don't think that in its own makes him a red, but the sample size is too small. I almost want to give him no colour, like just make it like
Yeah.
fucking transparent. But he has been a signing that people really, really excited about. So it's that old graph of hype, like there and impact down the bottom, because ultimately his contribution so far, and Hibshot's been missing two penalties.
Yeah. But okay. But you know what? Greg spoke me around. We'll put him in amber for now then. And then you know next one we're not
To be
even gonna.
honest, you can disagree with me, but look, I was excited when he signed. I thought he'd bring a different
Yeah. Same.
dynamic, but it's not quite worked out, to be honest, with injury. But yeah, feel free to disagree with me though and tell me to shut up. But I just think that the sample size is too small. We love that word in this podcast, sample size.
You know what, boys,
It's
we don't want to be here
embarrassing, to be
all night,
honest.
so we're gonna run through a few a bit quicker. David Marshall, Green. I think anybody
Yeah.
that's questioned David Marshall's
Move
been a bit
on.
stupid. Martin Boyle, Green.
Straight back.
Liam, you're looking like
Joking.
you're questioning it.
It's that hype versus impact, eh? We'll go
But with
green
the last
for a
minute
sec.
equaliser against Hearts and setting up goals. And
Brian
I
Kerr
think
scored a goal
that's
against
7 green.
Hearts. I mean, he's a red. I agree. I
And then if you look at the dip
agree.
of form,
Look.
especially without
Yeah, but then you look at him the last few weeks when he's been saved, shall we say.
right, boys, for the next one, I just want you to give me a colour. I don't want an explanation. Tavares.
Amber. I know
I
that's
was
not going to go
certain you
down
were going
well
to
with
say
some
red.
people. Nah,
I was
look,
certain
that's
you were
not
going
going
to
to go
say
down
red.
well with some people, but Amber.
I'm going to say Amber as well. Again, I think it's
Okay.
just too small, too early to say.
Fair.
Too small a sample size, Harry.
I'm being harsh here, boys. I'm being harsh, and you guys are being generous. Noah
Always
Ankenna.
give people the benefit of the doubt, Harry. You
Noah
know
Ankenna.
I'd have
Green.
Ken agree. He's a 19-year-old boy who I think is coming. I don't think he's great in possession, but I don't remember anyone at Hibs telling us he was going to be a great footballing player. He's
Yeah.
brought in with a role to do, and I think he does it okay. He's got a lot to learn, a lot to learn. But he's 19-year-old, man. Who's not got a lot to learn at 19? Do you know what I
I'm
mean?
28, I've still got a lot to learn.
And then next on the list, we've got Bojan. What do
Again, right, so we
think
can't just
of
start slating boys because we've given others.
Bojan?
It would have to be an amber, but that miss against Kelly alone is
I just think, boys, should we just do a pass or fail system here? Because I don't think at
red.
this rate we're going to give anybody a red.
I'm gonna be honest. I'm gonna stick my neck out on Womo Bojang. I know the sample size is smaller than some other players, but see, based on what we've seen,
Yeah,
he
we missed
doesn't
a
look like
chance at
he's.
Livy.
It's at points he looks like he's seeing a football for the first time.
We missed a chance at Livy, then he missed a chance against Kelly. So yeah, red. Harry's gone red.
Schofield, I forgot his first name, the goalkeeper.
Ryan.
Ryan.
I'd have him as a I'd have him as a red just purely on the basis that he's a waste of a wage.
Would much rather have one of the younger laddies on the bench than him, same. To be honest. I think it's an absolute waste of time. But
Murray Johnson, HSE.
Correct. Good guy as well.
Very good guy. I love that guy. What a gentleman.
Fun, sounds
what
a
funny guy.
Kukurevic, green.
Yeah, we'd have to agree.
Stonewall.
Fish, yellow.
Fish, I think they're normally sort of like a bluey sort of silver colour.
thanks guys for listening. We'll be back next week. That's all, folks. Are we agreed on Amber? Amber.
I mean, yeah. I think, yeah. I mean, I think the answer could do with a bit of fine tuning, but I think I'd probably go with red, to be honest. Another file under Schofield. Waste of a salary. It's a waste of a salary. He is.
Yeah,
he's
not going to get game time.
What's he been brought in to do?
Yeah, I mean, I think myself and Harry have said for long enough with a proper centre half that is at the club permanently. So based on that, I'd give him a red.
But speaking of a permanent centre back at the club, Bashiri, giving him a good old green.
Green. Yeah. There's no doubt about it. Green. He's been very good this season.
Nice. And
I can't even argue with it. I'd have him as Amber because I just don't think you can play him in a back four.
Well,
we're shining a back four.
No, afraid to say.
We're shining a back three, you know.
We're having him in green. All right, second last one, Ellie Yuan.
Amber.
Liam's in green, isn't he? Liam's in green.
If you asked me after five games, I'd have said definitely green, but probably the five games he's played most recently, he'd be a red. So I think somewhere in the middle, Amber. I just, again, like so much hope when he signed, eh? Based on his pre-season appearances, based on, I know it's just the games out in Portugal, really, based on his debut against St Johnstone when he played as a lone striker, he started very, very well setting up that goal against Hearts. But everyone's written him off now because he's had five or six really bad games.
Aye. And then finally, I'm going to kick off and I'm going to say same colour as his old club. I think Harry McCurdy's a red so far, to be honest. I think it's probably mainly due to how much the Hibs fans hyped him up when, like, on transfer deadline day, myself included for that. But I was just expecting him to kind of hit the ground running. It just felt that type of signing, and he's not.
Recency,
I think you're a bit off there, to be honest. I think that, yeah, he's frustrated, there's no doubt about it. He's probably not had the games that he maybe deserves. He was thrown in to start against Celtic at Parkhead. I think anything below an Amber is extremely harsh at the moment. I thought he looked bright when he came on, to be fair, at the weekend. He will score goals, there's no doubt about it, but he needs to be played in the right system. He needs to be given games, he needs to be given time. So I think if you were to label him a red, Harry, I think that would be incredibly harsh.
Do you know what
he's not everyone's cup of tea, and folk going about his fucking head, and I'm sick of hearing about it. The Hibs haven't had a striker that's an absolute dick for a long time. He is that guy. You need to give him service, you need to give him time, you need to give him games, and he will score goals. And I'm happy to stick my neck on the line. And folk can screen record this or whatever when he scores no goals all season. But I think he's going to score goals and he's going to be the striker that we've needed for a long time.
I like him. I think he's a wee bundle of energy. I change my mind on him every time I see him play. Some weeks I like him, sometimes I don't. I would like him to expend a lot of the energy that he expends buzzing about the penalty box and scoring goals. I think he's maybe been asked to do a job when we're chasing games when he comes on or whatever, where he's sort of expected to kind of pick the ball up and drive at players and do all that kind of thing. But I would like to see him in and around the box, putting the ball in the back of the net, because we don't have that at the moment. We need someone to fulfil that role. And I think that's where he gets into the team, especially in a two. I think he could play as a second striker in a two, definitely.
Okay, well, I'll go through everybody that we've got and then you can tell me if you've got any final changes. So starting in red, we have got three loan signings, which is Schofield, Will Fish, not the actual Fish Liam, and Mamadou Bojang. Then in yellow, Amber, we've got Tavares, Miller, Henderson, McGeady, McCurdy, Yuan. And then in green, we've got Chebraya, Marshall, Kerra, Boyle, Bashiri, Kukurevich. Are we happy with that?
That's what I said in my tweet a few days ago, so it's good that we're aligned. Loads of people only like that.
Hey, Greg, happy with
Too
that?
much green.
I'm happy with that, mate. Yeah, absolutely. I think we've been pretty fair there. No kangaroo court stuff.
And apparently I was the harsh one there, so that's always fun. That's good learning.
You are harsh, to be honest, Harry. Angry
Someone
man.
needs to be. Someone needs to be. All right. Well, boys, my favourite time of the night, since we're talking about favourites. Let's move on to listener questions. Woo! If you're not watching on YouTube, the boys are like rapidly shaking with joy. As I said, woo. So let's get fired straight into them. First of all, we have got Mason Forrest, who asked, "Is VAR the problem, or is it officials who are using the technology who are the problem?" I think
Different circus, same clowns. Look, these guys are
that's deep.
inept, and they have been for a while. Just because they've now got a computer screen in front of them doesn't make them better referees. Same problems that we've had for years.
I'm lost for
No,
words.
here
Like
he comes.
I genuinely, right? See if I was a lower league Scottish football fan that went to watch like Lowland League and East of Scotland League every week. I can't fucking fathom how bad the referees are doing at that level. Because if those guys are the best in Scotland, the folk in the lower league, like non-league, must be absolutely fucking atrocious. How
I'm
bad
not
must they
going to
be?
comment on that.
Honest, like, I
There
can't believe
was
they're our best.
one offside in our game yesterday. One.
What, an entire 90 minutes?
Entire 90 minutes, one. And it came right at the end of the game. No
I don't know if
chance
you
to do
guys follow that Evan McFarlane boy on Twitter.
Yes.
He's a Morton fan. He's quite a funny dude. He said that, what do you call it? Like when they're using the VAR refs, like they're taking that many refs for top flight games, like the dregs. He
Aye.
says that the games he's been going to, the referees are at like an all-time low. To be honest, I went to an East Fife were playing Airdrie. I think it was 4 years back. Me and mum went through, and honestly, it was the worst refereeing performance I'd seen in my life. There was one point where the Airdrie player literally punched the ball forward for himself, and then the linesman flagged it, and the referee ignored him, and he went on and scored. And I was like, how what? Like the referees in Scotland, it's bad. It's a very bad situation at Wigan.
I would like to give credit to one though. When I played with Violet, the guy was really good. Really, really good. I think he's a championship level referee, but he was really good. But the referees we have in the top flight are
Not
miles
very
off
good. Not very good.
Greg, I don't know if you remember this because I don't know if it stood out enough for you at the time, but me and Greg last season went to watch Hibs against Rangers in the development Scottish Cup semi-final or quarter-final, I can't remember. And the referee that day was honestly
Wow.
like I, because you obviously get frustrated at Hibs games normally, but being down at eye level with the pitch and watching do you know those referees that try and make themselves the centre of the game?
Aye.
Like, just that down to a T. And to be honest, see the referee the Achille Hibs game, I can't remember who it was. I think David Dickinson was the VAR, but I can't remember, was it Napier that was the referee the Hibs game on Saturday? I can't
Was he not
remember.
Hearts, I think?
Oh, but just like just getting all that pernickety shit about where to take a free kick when it's in your own half and he moves it 2 yards this way. But then when the goalie time wastes for the goal kick about five or six times, you have a word with him instead of just fucking booking him and stopping it. Just some referees, man, like the standard's so bad. Do you know someone suggested, I'm sorry, Harry, because I know you're on a key to move us on, right? But someone suggested, why not just get some fucking referees in for abroad to do the VAR? Like, just get guys that actually care what they're doing that are like retired refs because they don't need to run around anymore. Just get fucking Pierluigi Collina and Kim Nielsen and Anders Frisk and all them just sitting watching it on the VAR. What would stop them doing it? They don't need to run around. The guys ken the rules.
Just one more thing. I don't know if you remember if that game in the development game, Liam, but the linesman at our side was he was just giving Gareth Evans and Steve Keane a hard time on it because they were stepping like a yard outside the technical area. He was absolutely screaming at them. He obviously got a little bit jealous that his mate the ref was getting all the attention, so he wanted a wee bit of it as well.
The technical area is the smallest technical area I've ever seen. No,
Aye.
literally,
But yeah,
it was like,
you wouldn't believe it.
oh, unreal, man. I do. Different breed.
Well, Mason, thank you for your question. I'm not sure how much we answered that, but we answered it. And next, moving on to Jeff Ashton. Jeff knows we love him. Said, bit of a statement, as we know from him. He said, every goal we've conceded, apart from maybe Ross County's first, has been down to an individual error and or a shit VAR decision. Saturday is a classic example. At least two chances to clear before the classic fall by the Kelly player. That is not Lee Johnson's fault. I think that's valid. The only thing I would say Liam kind of touched on is I think at times we have been prone to overplaying at the back, which has put us in a bit of danger. And I can't say that's coming from Lee Johnson. It might just be players trying to play better off their own accord. But for me, it's similar individual errors from different players. So for me, there's probably some form of coaching involved. Is that fair? Or is that me just kind of picking holes at someone for the sake of it?
Kind of down to the collective, isn't it? I mean, there's a bit of that on individual players. There's a bit of what we work on in training. There's a bit of us as fans and the way that we demand our teams play football. All of those things kind of play into it. I don't. That's certainly not Lee Johnson's fault solely, but I think he's at least partially to blame.
Yeah, I think he is as well. Like, there's no getting away from it. He is at fault partially for the form that we are going through, and look, the way that we are playing, the players don't decide that. So, yeah, I think he's got to take some of the blame.
Fair. And then Luke Cunningham has asked, oh, thank you, Jeff, for your statement. Luke Cunningham has asked, why are we a bit shit just now?
If I speak, I'm in big trouble. Manager.
I think poor decision making across the board, and that stems from the board poorly making choices and being a bit too quick to sack managers. I think it's poor decision making from the recruitment team, who still can't seem to sign a centre back on a permanent deal. I think it's poor decision making from the players when they're on the park, and I think it's poor from the manager picking the team that goes on the park. So decision making, in my opinion, Luke, is why we're a bit shit right now.
Yeah, mind we had Sean Maloney as manager. Sean Rooney was our manager for 4 months. Do you mind that?
That was a bad time period.
Can we have a big discussion about how the manager is also culpable for the recruitment? Or is everyone just going to ignore that? Is everyone just going to accept that actually the recruitment team must just go out and fly these players in and decide that they get signed without the manager's say so? Or is that just going to be conveniently ignored because we're not allowed to slate a manager 6 months into his tenure?
I think it's better valid to burst. No, I think it's 100% valid. I think it's not been talked about. I saw at least two tweets, maybe more at the weekend, people saying they need clarity on the club's transfer process. I don't know how much clearer the club could have been in terms of the transfer process. Ian Gordon and his team recommend a bunch of players, and then Lee Johnson says which ones he wants from that list, prioritises them, and then Ben Kensel goes off and does the negotiations. That's how it's been explained to us. So he chooses the ones for the list. Doesn't like list, tell him to make another list.
Mm-hmm. It's funny because folk like, oh, Lee Johnson wouldn't have signed Tavares, but Lee Johnson's on record as saying that he was looking at Tavares when he was at Sunderland.
Aye.
But that's just too convenient for people, so people leave that one out.
That's absolute poppycock. It's like constantly going about, oh, we signed this player because he must have identified him because he played in League One in England.
Mm-hmm.
And so he played against them, what, twice in a season? Doesn't mean that the managers then identified the player. Like, that's the whole, there's a the whole department that looks at scouting and recruiting players at Hibs. And the manager gets final sign-off on it. So, you'd argue he's more responsible than anyone else, really, if he's ultimately the one making the decision. Unless Ben Kensel is going to negotiate with them and negotiations will ever break down, and we end up with his third, fourth, fifth choice. But we as fans are never going to be privy to that information. We're never going to know how high on the list Momodou Bojang was out of centre forward targets. We're never going to know how high on the list Marian Chabraya was. It's just, that's just how it is.
Hopefully top.
So, Luke, thank you for your question. Again, I'm not really sure how well we answered it, but we answered it.
what was we gave him something.
It was why are we a bit shit just now? I kind of went on a tangent, and you tangented from my tangent, so it works.
The player because Lee Johnson is angry at himself for not picking.
No,
Kevin
no, no. He's almost angry at himself.
He's almost angry.
Almost angry.
Because we know almost 5'8" as well.
All right, move. We're actually quite a tall podcast, never mind. Next up is Matt Gilchrist. He said, do you think the board are hesitant on letting Lee Johnson go because of previous history, i.e. Ross Maloney, etc.? Could it be a deeper issue letting him go because we can't afford another severance pay? I don't think it's a question on the board's mind, to be honest. I think if we lose 3 of the next 4, I think it will start to be an issue for the board to contemplate, but I don't think at the moment it's anything they're considering. Are you guys feeling anything different to that?
He was given a 4-year deal. So the board are obviously backing him and expect him to do good things at the club. I have no doubt that we are behind where we thought we would be, but I think because of that 4-year contract, he will get time, maybe longer than what a manager on a 2-year contract would have got, but he will get as much time as possible. But our run after the winter break, after the World Cup, does not fill me with any confidence whatsoever based on what we see.
My understanding, and it might be wrong, is I think that regardless of the length of contract now with modern managers, there's an amount of severance that is non-negotiable. So basically, when you exit a contract, the club doesn't pay up the rest of the contract. You only get, like, say, 3 to 6 months worth of severance pay if you've not hit your objectives. So I would like to think, or I'd like to hope anyway, that the length of contract wouldn't be a blocker in us getting rid of him. But I would say he said at the start judging me in October, November. And if you're judging him on October, November, if we were doing a red, amber, green Lee Johnson, it'd be red based on results. So I think the first time it'll even been a conversation at boardroom level was after the weekend results, because that's the first time it would be really worrying them in terms of where we dropped in the league.
Any idea what a severance pay might be? Just asking for a friend.
Thinking we're doing a whip round.
Live it at home, whip round, couple of quid each.
Oh, Greg, what's your GoFundMe for?
Yeah, save up your Christmas money, boys.
Yeah, you can just pretend you've lost your dog, Greg. And that was it last Christmas that couple where she said that the dog was lost and they started a GoFundMe page and it turned out to be a bakery.
Have you not seen the one recently where the guy went missing and it turns out he just had a big drug debt, and now there's a GoFundMe to pay for his drug debt?
All right. Well, Matt, thank you for your question. We answered it, and then we kind of went away. But next question, Greg, we'll come to you first on this one, from Alan Woodhouse. He said, does the Boyle situation not stink a wee bit, although no one wants to say?
Yes, I have proof of me bringing this up in the chat. If anyone wants to question me, I am not impressed by the situation, to be honest. He is a football player for Hibernian Football Club. He may have the World Cup coming up, but his job is to play for Hibernian Football Club. His job is not to sit on his arse and wait for World Cups or Australia games to come round. So I would absolutely agree that, for me, it does stink. Well, let's be honest, we are a two-man team at this moment, Boyle and Kukurevich. So we're not playing one of our best players because he's got a World Cup. His job is to play domestic football for Hibernian Football Club. So, yeah. Stinks like fuck, to be honest.
It's a massive privilege these footballers have. that they I hope they recognise that If I turned around to my boss and said, "Nah, I'm sorry, I can't be at work today because I've got something on tomorrow night, and I just want to be in the right frame of mind for it. So just no bother putting a shift in the day, or tomorrow actually. And then after that thing that I'm going to tomorrow night, then I'll see about coming back to work." The rest of the population just don't have that privilege, and I understand why he might be doing that in order to remain fit and preserve his chances of playing at a World Cup. But team needs you, needs you.
And do you know what? Do you know what? The club's taking a hit to get him back. We've not bothered getting the money that we were due for him, so we've taken a hit. He will be the highest earner at the football club, but he's not wanting to play because he wants to go to a phony World Cup. But if that's where his head's at, then that's fine, but that's not good enough for this football club. This football club needs players that want to play for the football club regardless, and will run through walls for this football club. Right now, we don't have that. And one of your star players is sitting in the stand because he's concerned about maybe picking up a knock so he can't go to a World Cup in the middle of winter. Okay, good one.
Okay, well, Alan, thank you for unleashing the Greg.
Thanks, Alan. I need to get that off my chest as well.
And Alan, just in case you're not sure, we're a football club. We're a football club. Just in case you're not sure,
we are a football club. We're not a rehab centre for injured football players.
And just to confirm, as Greg said, fuck the phony World Cup. I'm not watching it. I hate it. Anyway, moving on. We've got Jem, and I'm not going to say. Pronounce your name the way you did. F-U-A-T, Fua, Fuat, Fua, Bo.
I have no idea, mate.
Nah, we'll call you Jem. Jem asked, what shampoo do you use? And then in brackets, Henderson is shite. I'm going to assume that she uses, or he uses, Jem, with J-E-M, I'm assuming that's a girl, Jem? Gemma? Jem?
Mate, I don't assume anyone's gender. It's 2022.
That's very fair. Sorry, Jem, if I've misgendered you.
Although you can't assume that Harry is specky. Because he is
sick. But yeah, what shampoo do you use? I'm assuming that Henderson is a form of shampoo that is shite, because clearly not talking about you.
I think so.
That's a shame. But yeah, anybody want to own up to what shampoo they use?
Not really, because it reveals things about me that I don't really want to reveal.
I don't really. No, I mean, I obviously do need shampoo, but I don't really use it a lot. Pretty much, I think it's just LV that's in the shower at the moment. Nothing fancy, like, no, Joe Hart with a Head and Shoulders, but LV, I'm sure it is. Or maybe it might be L'Oreal, I don't know. One of the two.
I'm not a big shampoo guy, but one thing I would say is I'm a big, big fan of Original Source shower gel. Doesn't really matter which one. I think
the mint
the
one, and anyone who can't handle the mint one needs to grow up.
I like the mint one. I like the coconut one. The lime one's very good. All of them are very refreshing, particularly in the morning when you just need something to really hit you in the nose. So Original Source.
Nice.
Yeah,
I like
definitely
it.
Hit you in the nose, mate. Superb. But Original Source mint, the damage.
I like whatever the cheap off-brand ones you get from either Lidl or Aldi are, because I'm a wee tam. But thank you, Jem, for that. And apologies, because I've probably insulted you about 7 times when answering that question. Or if you didn't the question, never mind answering it. Next, we've got Hayley, who said, I've been a few away games this season. Unfortunately, Saturday was one of them, and I just didn't think the singing was where it usually is. But I saw the singing section arrive about 10 to 3. Should they be arriving a bit earlier, if all together? Is that a fair reflection of the fans
not
being... What
time does the Hibs team arrive on Saturday?
They never.
Back at 5.
Yeah.
Look, to be honest, I know we've got the singing section, but it's on everyone to try and create a wee bit of joy in. Regardless of when they turn up, I think a few years ago, maybe about 10 odd years ago, there was no real singing section, but you created the atmosphere yourself. So, yeah, I think Hibs fans maybe need to create a bit more atmosphere, not just leave it all to the singing section, because when the singing section sing on their own, it doesn't create much of an atmosphere, if I'm honest. Especially at home games when, I mean, I thought against the Ross County game, like, it's tough to get the crowd going, but, you know, It's not just our name to get singing. Look at the away games at St Johnstone start of the season, everyone was joining in. You know, so it's on everyone to create an atmosphere, really.
It's a bit of an odd dynamic, Kelly, as well, because they put everyone into that upper tier, and then you've got if the young like singing section folk are all in the lower tier, they create a bit of an atmosphere amongst themselves, and that generally means something. But blocks of them are kind of pushed over to the sort of right hand side, and it was difficult really for them to kind of generate any atmosphere. And I think probably they were quite dispersed amongst the rest of the crowd because they did arrive late. But I don't know. I generally think that the atmosphere has been pretty decent for the most part, but I agree with Greg. I think there's a lot of people who critique the atmosphere but then don't contribute to the atmosphere, and they're part of the problem.
Fair. Hayley, I'm sure you can contribute to the atmosphere, so we're not digging you out for that. But just in general,
no.
Other people go and they get a bit of a grump on, but yeah.
It's not a pop at anyone, just think the way. A bit more atmosphere, singing, joining in, getting it going.
Because that's the thing, like, I remember going away to like Kilmarnock back in the day when we were like pish fighting relegation and that. The atmosphere would be class. Like, we'd not just have a sing song because we knew we'd get pumped on the park, so why not have a laugh off it? But let's get through a few questions a bit faster. So next up, we got the infamous John McIntosh, and he's asking, what's for dinner?
How about John stops asking about other podcasts what I'm about dinner?
Yeah, John, we're not
going
to lie.
And keeps it exclusive to us if he wants to ask questions like that.
John, we used to feel special because from what we were aware, we were the first that you asked about dinner. But now you started asking
just
others,
feel
you
like
know.
One of his other podcasts that, you know, don't feel
soon
special.
You'll be asking the Hearts podcast as well.
So, John, this week. Yeah, John, we'll answer when you pick a question. It's just for us, John. But he also said not
do
a question.
Do better, John.
Do better, John. He also said not a question, in brackets, get it up you, but thank God for the World Cup break. Yep, agreed. We touched on that earlier. Good stuff. Dave Graham said, third is still up for grabs. Who do you sign to make happen? Make it happen, sorry.
I suppose you better ask the recruitment team who they've got on their list that then gets okayed by the manager who then signs the players.
Tell you who you shouldn't sign, and it's Jason Kerr, who I've seen quite a few shouts for. I don't know what he'd be like with a ruptured ACL, but I can't imagine he'd be much cope for the rest of the season. Some of the shouts, like, it's just so there's a real lack of creativity with some of the shouts for signings. It's just the same players each window. We should go and get him. We should go and get him. And I'm like, there's maybe a
well,
reason
I mean,
that it's not happened up till now.
For years it was Mark McNulty, and then we signed him, and then people were disappointed in the end. So
yeah,
be careful what you wish for. That's what I would say.
Let's get that Liam Lindsay in. He's kind of having a great. Is he still having as good a season?
Playing
as
every game.
Nah,
he's
yeah,
playing every
nah.
game.
Yeah,
he's
still doing well. I mean, it's almost like one left foot centre half to another. You know, just that connection, mates. I would have to say he's top of my Christmas list.
Really? Yeah. Maybe playing in the English Premier League next season, so we can figure out.
Well, I mean, it's not going to happen, but he's on the Christmas list, like.
Aye, Santa might be nice this year.
If there was players from any other, like, what position would you be looking at filling without naming any specific players?
Permanent centre back that's reliable and can start every week. That we've not had a new signing of that quality.
Is that an assumption that Porteous is going?
No, that's on the assumption that we've needed one for
can we,
the past
can we come
eight
on to
transfer
Ryan
windows.
Is there any questions about Ryan Porteous? Because I would like to have a discussion about Ryan Porteous at the end.
Yeah, we're going to have Ryan's
yeah,
Porteous discourse at the end. That sounds good.
Now you get more off my chest.
That's all right. I'd say centre back.
I'd probably be looking for another midfielder as well. I think the early season promise of the way the dynamic was in midfield is totally worn off, and we just look one dimensional, predictable now. So I would like a maybe more forward thinking midfielder, and another striker.
What I would say, though, is I don't think we need a rebuild because January rebuilds never go down well. So, yeah, I think maybe
that.
one or two player would be good.
We need what we needed in the summer. Starting quality players,
yeah.
Calibre to come in and start No guys that are going to be good in 2-3 years' time, or guys that are going to be a punt. We need guys that are going to come in that are starting quality. That's what we've not signed. We need to sign, for me, a centre midfielder that's going to come in and start dictating the play and demanding the ball and allowing us to play at the tempo we want to play at. And we need to find a fucking goal scorer number 9. If Kevin Nisbet comes back and does that, then great. Maybe that reduces the need for it. But I'd also really like to see us sign a proper winger to play on the other side as well. Sorry, no one asked me, so I had to get in.
Well, I opened it to everybody. But Dave, you let us know who we need to sign because we always value your opinion. Next up, Curvy Nisbet asked, "What kind of Doug have you got?"
Not one that predicts football scores, anyway.
My answer to that is one that breathes properly.
I like all breeds. I genuinely like all breeds, but as all a taller gentleman, a pug is not a dog that I would own as a taller gentleman. I would look somewhat ridiculous, which is why I've got an undersized Labrador.
That's the official dog for the podcast, isn't it? Because it stays domestically with Liam at all times.
I'm not having anyone else try to move in my dog. My dog's also a man, so we need a man because we're all men. We have no gender diversity on this podcast,
or any form of diversity on this. But oh no, guys, we're problematic now. All right, move on. Michael Harley,
are you not the only specky member of the podcast? Ribbed as always.
But Michael Harley said, "What is the best match day squad, and why is Lee Johnson not picking it?" Not going to lie, Michael, that's a long range question.
He's almost angry at himself for not picking it out. Let's lay off him for 5 minutes.
Because he picks it, and then after 35 minutes, he realizes that he shouldn't have picked the guy that he decided he shouldn't have played anyway in the first place. We've not even talked about the Dimitri Mitchell thing. That is ridiculous. Absolutely.
Everyone knows how much I love Roy Keane. And the first thing that popped into my head when he was like, "His missus gave birth 2 nights ago," is, "Well, he wasn't given birth, was he?"
Oh, God.
Like, this is what I mean. This is like the stuff he comes out with. Like, how can you take him seriously? How can you take him seriously when he comes out with stuff like that?
And that comment is why Roy Keane will never manage in women's football.
Yeah. However, I would like to see Roy Keane manage at Hibernian Football Club.
Welcome anytime, Roy. I know Roy definitely listens to the podcast and smiles every time Greg compliments him, and it's the only time a week he smiles. It's great. But Michael, thank you for that question, and apologies we didn't really answer it. Next, we have got Brian Fellis, Spikey El Arizo, who said, "Why do officials always seem to rule against Hibs in questionable incidents?" I think that's kind of why does referees act against me. I think that's a very football fan thing where we all feel like the referees are out to get us. So even though in recent weeks it does feel like we're on the end of some very bad decisions. But yeah, is that fair,
we're
guys?
Not, we're not an establishment football club. So.
Yeah. I'll be honest, I thought we got quite a lot of marginal calls at the start of the season. I thought quite a lot of marginal calls went in our favour. I think we've seen a reversal of that luck over the last few weeks. I think virtually all the marginal calls since the Dundee United game have kind of gone against us. All the big calls. So in some ways, I see it as it's evening itself out. It's maybe gone too far the other way now because we've had some shocking decisions since the beginning of the VAR. But this was always going to happen when they brought VAR in halfway through the season. You'd get some decisions that were given for or against you pre-VAR, and then there's some that are retrospectively given. And then there's some like the lack of red card at the Livingston Hearts game on Saturday that are just completely missed. Completely missed.
Mental. But yeah, thank you, Brian Fella, for that. And then we've got Andrew Brown, who said, "What's more likely to happen first? Ron Gordon to come out and address the current on-field structural in brackets football department issues, or Hibs will announce a new strategic partner?"
Well, I'm not going to speak on that one because the club have pissed me off with that as well. probably won't get too personal, but I think the strategic partnership side of the club has been very good in the last sort of year and a half, and Hibs have decided that they no longer want to go down that route. So So I'd probably say Ron Gordon coming out and discussing the football department.
Yep, fair. Liam.
Yeah, some very strange decisions being made at our football club at the moment. I
Yeah.
won't say any more than that. That
Indeed.
we are privy to, but will not be discussing
All right, Mr.
further.
Bloody Mystery Man. But thank you, Andrew, for the question. We've only got three more guys. We're almost done. We're on the home stretch. So from my dad, Fran, and again, he's messed up the question again, guys. He poorly worded the last one. This time he said, at the beginning of the season, would you have taken Hibs being 3 points off third going into the World Cup break? I'm sorry to inform you, I think we're 5 points off third. Is it more than that? Is it five? How many points off third are we?
Someone said it was still three after
Still
Saturday. I don't know if
three?
it's right.
Oh, he did ask the right question. I thought we were five off.
Nah, I think he's right. Someone said
Oh
that
my
after
God, well
Saturday,
into
but it might have been it's
no,
five
no,
now,
it's five.
because
It's
four
five.
Aberdeen
It's
played.
five.
Yeah, it's
Yeah,
four
we are
Aberdeen
five
played,
points
that's
off.
why. It was five for three, four Aberdeen
I
played,
mean, I
sorry.
wouldn't accept three either, to be honest. And I'm certainly not accepting five.
Yeah, I remember me and Greg were talking. I think it was a pod. I think it was just me, Greg, and Ryan, if memory serves correct. And then we said, where would you take being come the break? And I think we had five games to go. And I said, if we're top six, I wouldn't be unhappy. And if Greg said, if we were less than third, he would be very unhappy. And we are very far below third. We are eighth, which is not good at all.
I've had the pleasure of being in your dad's company on a couple of occasions, and he strikes me as very much a glass half full kind of guy. So I think whilst he looks up the table, I think you look down, we're also 5 points off the relegation playoff place with two teams sitting on 15 points.
Which
And
is not
those two
good
teams are
enough.
Ross County and Kilmarnock, and I saw Kilmarnock play on Saturday and they are woeful. So
But
we
they
should be a
still
lot
managed
more than
to beat
5 points
us.
ahead of them.
Yeah. So take that, Dad.
It's bad, eh? See, when you say it like that, it's bad, eh?
Sorry, Fran, if I see you in the Sainsbury's garage, I will not give you a hard time. You're a positive guy.
And then more friends of Harry that have sent me questions. We've got Mikey who said best starting 11. We can't be arsed in a full 11, Mikey. I'm sorry. But he said it would be interesting how he will set up and who would get the nod up top between Kukurevic and Nisbet if he plays 4-3-3. So at the moment, obviously we've got a month or so until it. We'll just assume that they're both fully fit. Who would you start up top if we were playing four
The
three
two of
three?
them play. The two of them
Okay.
play. There's no question. The two of them play.
And a 4-3-3?
Or even if you want to play a 4-3-3, stick McCardy on the other side. The three of them.
And Boyle, 4-2-4. McGuinness, Nisbet, Boyle, and McGeady probably all get into that starting 11 if they're fit. If they're
There's a
fit.
key word, if fit.
Yeah.
Clearly,
So,
someone's already away on the holidays. Everyone.
and Mikey, the defence essentially picks itself, so we've pretty much answered your question. Craig was asked for a question, and he said, "Oh, I'll think." And then he said, "Fucked it, can't think of one." So thank you, Craig, for that. And then the last one of the day, this one will annoy Greg, but Bex's question was, out of the three, what is your favourite Harry McCurdy haircut?
The one where he scores goals with his ponytail.
I still like the celebration that he used to do at Swindon. I know we've not got to see it yet, but I used to think that was quite fun. But yeah. Liam.
I think he should just shave it off, and go bald.
Yeah.
I think he should just go bald. I got it like a one all over or something. I just don't know. As someone who changes their hair with that regularity strikes me as someone who's a bit sexually frustrated.
All right, well, that'll be that then. But boys, as always, it's been an absolute pleasure. My Monday night
We're
has
not
been.
discussing porches now.
Oh, sorry. Oh, God. I was going to ask if there was any final points. So, Greg, go on. Ryan Porteous, beat him up.
For me, I know I've said previously I'd rather have him at the club, even if he's not going to sign a deal. But the way he's playing at the moment, the way he's acting, doesn't seem like his head's in it. So I'd probably try and offload him in January, to be honest, because we don't need players who aren't willing to give everything in the squad. I know that some people will probably not agree with that, but for me, he's not doing it at the moment, and he's not been doing it for a few weeks. I'm interested in your guys' views, to be honest, because I know that there'll probably be a few people that will want to see him here to the end of the season, but the way he's been at the moment, it's a miracle he's been called up to the Scotland squad, but it's also a miracle he's still getting a game for Hibs.
I'm at that point now where I'm kind of just sick of people talking about it, so I'd really be that bothered if it goes in January now. It's been a talking point for too long, and this discussion about a new contract or lack of new contract and us making them well paid and us not making them well paid, it's kind of getting boring now, eh? I would be tempted just to cut our losses, and not cut our losses, but just sell them.
And his performances on the pitch haven't been good enough to warrant the contract that he's been given, because he's been given, he would have been offered a fair whack, and he's not accepted it. So why would we hold on to him if he's not wanting to stay?
It's not an excuse, but the thing I always say is, if you've got no competition and you're starting every week and you're guaranteed to be starting every week because you're the only person that's able to start in that position, I know that it's not an excuse not to get motivated, but it doesn't help. Ryan Porteous will start every week whilst he's still at the club, regardless of how poor in form he is. And I think that's a massive problem. And I think it's a reflection of how poor recruitment has been, and how we can have that many people on a recruitment team that can't identify a single centre-back to sign on a permanent basis. As I've said before, it's embarrassing. But yeah.
For me, though, that's where your manager needs to be brave. Just drop him.
No, I feel agreed. Feel agreed. But yeah.
I take that. Totally agree. I worry though that the manager, when it comes to January, will advise the club to hang on to the player because he doesn't have the faith in the recruitment team to go and find another centre half to replace him who's any good. Because there's a reason that we've not signed a centre half for as long as we have. You know, I know the Rocky one, obviously, but an actual centre half on a permanent basis that we've identified, there's a reason we've not signed one so long, because they obviously find them really hard to come by. So obviously, a real shortage of centre halves. I don't know what it is, but we don't seem to sign players for that position. So I think you'll be worried that we'd maybe go and get someone who'd be a complete turkey.
Well, on that incredibly happy cheery
note.
Well, guys,
you want to tell us a joke to finish?
Oh no, I was going to give you some positive news to finish,
oh,
guys.
Nice.
Hibs are not playing for ages, guys. I'm so happy. My weekends aren't going to be ruined. In seriousness, I am without football for a month or so. As I've said before, my opinion is the World Cup should not be taking place in the way that it's being taken place. So I will not be participating in it at all. But yeah, we're still going to be around. We've got a few ideas for podcast episodes in the next coming weeks. One thing, I can't be bothered mentioning that. But yeah, thanks so much, guys, for listening.
I love that you said you were participating in the World Cup. I didn't think that you were from a nationality that qualified.
I didn't know your attitude was from a nationality that qualified, but here we are.
Are you hoping to get a call up from, I don't know, Specky Land or something?
Oh, God, okay. One final Specky and then you go. All right, boys, thank you so much for joining me. Guys, if you've made it this far, what are you doing with your life?
Fair
but thank you so much for
bad.
Listening. I've
bad.
Yeah, fair play. But right, we'll catch you next time, guys.
Take care.
Cheers.